702, The Midday Report, Monday to Friday,
12 to 1 p.m.
10 minutes to 1 o'clock here on the Midday Report on 702. So it's Thursday, and every Thursday we try and speak to the author of a local non-fiction book. And this week, the book is called Like Water Is for Fish. It's The Power of Story in Our Lives by Garth Jaffet. And Garth is a medical doctor. He co-founded Soul City, an internationally acclaimed multimedia edutainment project that addresses health issues. And since 1992, it's reached over 50 million people. Garth is also the founding CEO of Heartlines, an NGO that initiates research-based campaigns that use story to tackle society's big issues. And this is a book full of stories. It's written in an easy, beautiful way, so easy to read. And it's about the healing power of story, fictional, factual, and Garth's own as well. But it's not a memoir. It's more than that. It's a sharing of how stories in multiple forms are as essential to our lives as water is for fish. So Garth, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Mandy.
So when I saw that you had written a book, I was so keen to read it because I know how passionate you are about storytelling and the power of storytelling.
Yeah, you know, it's an extraordinary story in that my reason I'm a medical doctor is because of a story written in the 50s called The Jungle Doctor. And it took me, a person who faints at the sight of blood and didn't do particularly well at maths and science, and inspired me to become a doctor. And then I found that actually I'd begun to tell stories. So a story inspired me, and then I'd begun to tell stories to heal.
The way that you've written the book, it's so intriguing because the stories flow, but they are not just your stories. You tell your stories, but you've also interviewed a bunch of other people too.
You know, ultimately, it's one of these extraordinary things where if you delve a little deeper, everybody is using story or influenced by story. So I had the privilege of interviewing people like Zapiero, Trina Schlope, Lillian Dube, and then a bunch of people that people might not know about, a sort of a narrative psychologist using story to help sort of unpick the threads of our lives. Michael Charton, who tells this extraordinary story about our country. And a bunch of other people, Alfreda Ho, who is a wonderful author, talking about her own story of growing up Chinese in South Africa. So yeah, that sort of interweaves with my own story or parts of my story and how it's influenced me and I've used it to influence others.
But you're quite clear in the book that this is not an autobiography, nor is it a memoir in the conventional sense. But you've chosen to tell stories from your own life that illustrate how story has influenced you.
Absolutely. It's not a biography in the conventional sense. I basically use episodes in my own life, like the time that I went up to the Kenyan border to become a real jungle doctor, and then found that I was working with a psychopathic war criminal. And the story of Jungle Doctor took me there, but her story put me off medicine. So hopefully there is things here that will inspire people. I hope to get some smiles from people, but primarily to realize that when we get to grips with our own story, that's very healing. When we hear the stories of others, that's also very healing. And it's one of the key things that we're trying to promote is when we hear people's stories, they become human to us. But also, if we really want to motivate or lead others, story is the only way. I also delve into some neuroscience about why a story is just such a powerful way, in fact, the only way to impact human behavior.
You speak in the book about how your childhood was awash with story. Your mother read to you fables, myths, adventure stories. The companionship of radio, too, is something that you speak about. How important is it, do you believe, that we share stories for posterity, but also for children so that they can be inspired?
One of the sort of key revelations for me was how I really didn't know the story, for instance, of my own parents. And by the time it sort of dawned on me, you know, we get snippets, we hear little bits and pieces. My father unfortunately died, but I actually sat down with my mother one afternoon and took my phone and recorded what she had to say. And it was actually, it was one of those extraordinary experiences where it gave me insight into a whole lot of her behavior. It gave me insight into my own life. And as a result, it's given me a perspective and a desire to say to people, you know, it's never too late to actually sit down with those that you love, particularly before they pass on, to hear their stories, not just the snippets that we often get told.
So, Garth, you take us from the streets of Alexandra, and then we're off to meet Richard Branson at the World Economic Forum. You tell the Soul City story and the Heartline story, and you tell us in the book about what your experience has been in both Soul City and Heartlines of making a contribution to society. How did it help you in particular with Soul City and Heartlines?
Well, the key thing that I stumbled upon was actually, if you really want to get people to think differently about health, that's where it began, because I'm a doctor. You don't give them facts, you tell them stories. And that's the way that our brain is wired, which is why Soul City was a drama series, and why Heartlines makes films and other forms of story, is that a famous scientist said, we are not thinking beings, we're emotional beings. And hooking into that became the core of the methodology that I and my colleagues have used in different ways over the last 30 years. I love it. I mean, I think any of us sitting in a talk, and if the person talking suddenly stops and said, let me tell you a story, you can actually see people's body language change. And so there's a really good reason for that. And that's why I think, thankfully, we've been fairly successful in the work we've done over many years, because it is based on the power of story.
So I do want to ask you about the current position that we find ourselves in at the moment, because you were largely involved in educating people about AIDS. So how do you think your learnings from that can be applied here in terms of how we educate people about COVID-19 and about vaccines?
Well, thanks, Manny. Actually, I'm very involved in that right now. I'm in fact doing a webinar this evening. I think, you know, a lot of misinformation. So the reality is that misinformation is stories, and we're living in a world of social media. I think, you know, what we're trying to do in working with the DOH and others is you've got to start with the facts. You've got to try and then start telling the compelling stories that enable people to get a bit of a better idea about, you know, what is true and what isn't. I'm hopefully, you know, I think I've always been a bit skeptical about slogans and billboards, because the evidence is very clear that that doesn't work. So I'm hoping that we interview people, that we tell stories of where these, you know, of what has worked. We tell stories about the dreadful impact on people's lives of who haven't taken precautions and then have infected others. Because actually it's those stories that stick. And we've got to tell some very compelling stories in order to deal with the fake news and the myths and legends that are going out there.
Yeah, I was about to say, we're seeing a huge amount of fake news being distributed around vaccines. Also, a lot of myths, as you say, about what is in the vaccine and why people shouldn't take it. So what do you think is the best way to deal with this? I mean, I've commented quite a bit about government's approach and its failures around communication. So what is the ideal approach for us to deal with this?
Well, first of all, it's got to be research-based. We've got to listen more carefully to what people are saying, and we've got to really get rid of the chatter, because just if there's one post on Facebook and a lot of people like it, it doesn't mean to say that's a predominant view across society. So we've got to have, and it's not difficult, we need to have a better listening system so that we can sort of filter the wheat from the chaff. We've then got to understand, you know, in behavior change work, you've got to say, what are the obstacles for change? What are people's fears? Why are they saying these things? And then we've got to counter that, and we've got to counter it not just with story, but with credible people. So, I mean, I know there's been some great articles in the Daily Maverick, but, you know, the vaccine thing, if we can get key people to be vaccinated first, our ministers, our sports people, etc., in public, and do it in a way that is transparent, that just sends a message that is so powerful. So two things: numbers, who do we use and who becomes the spokespeople? They have to be trustworthy. And second thing, let's understand the obstacles better, because I don't think we do right now.
Great wisdom indeed. Thank you so much. So Garth Jaffet, thank you for chatting to us today about your book, Like Water Is for Fish, The Power of Story in Our Lives. Garth, thank you so much and best of luck.
Thanks so much, Mandy. And please, yeah, available in great stores. And I've always wanted to say this. tell them that I sent you.
Thank you, colleagues. So Garth Jaffet, he's the co-founder of Soul City, the founding CEO of Heartlines as well. And I think it's just a really, a current book for us to be reading right now. The power of story in our lives amidst so much fake news and myths out there. I think there are a lot of learnings about the Soul City story, the Heartline story as well.